said, I want to invite our guests forward, Ian and Tiffany Rowley. It's been neat for me to get to know them a little bit. Why don't you guys come on down? And I'm excited for you guys to present your ministry this morning. Let them know all of what you guys are up to in Cambodia. God bless you guys.
No problem. Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? All right. You have no idea who we are. So you have no idea what's going to happen in the next 25 minutes, 30 minutes. But we're Ian and Tiffany Rowley. I'm from Newfoundland. Woo. Anyone? Okay. All right. There's always someone that comes up after service and's like, do you know my mother's uncle? And the answer is normally yes. And Ian, my husband, is from Sherwood Park, Alberta, where there is snow now. You're right. Sucks. We've been together for 15 years, 13 of those years we've served in Cambodia. And so we originally said, yes, Lord, we want to follow you. We didn't really know what that would look like particularly, but with our Bible school backgrounds, we knew we wanted to be involved in ministry. And so we met with our leadership and they said, you know what? Cambodia is an open door. And we said, yes. And it's been quite the journey ever since. There's a picture of our family. Our kids aren't with us today. We've actually sort of gone across the country. So last weekend was their last go for us, and so they're at Grandma's house. So Emmeline and Sophia. And I'll just put this plug in right here now. Sophia has some special needs, and so we're looking for a teacher to come and teach her one-on-one. We do pay for that, so if anyone is in the congregation, you know, you hear that voice, okay, come talk to me after. Anyway, we've been blessed to serve overseas, and one of the main ministries that I'm involved in is called Child Care Plus, a ministry of ERDO, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And if you know anything about Cambodia, you would know that 40, 50 years ago, it was ravaged by war, genocide. Over 2 million of their own people were killed. And at that time, it was a small country. And so if you think about that, the national age of Canada, I think, is around 55. The national age of Cambodia is 26. So the country is young. So if you're here today and you're 50 plus, you would have lived through this or not. You would have had your family killed before you. You would have had, we hear all these stories all the time. So we have a generation that's missing grandparents, right? Think about that. Think about the impact that that has on a whole nation. And now zone it into 2023 where we are. And so through Child Care Plus, which is the sponsorship arm of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we're able to work with these families. When we first went, we had 63 kids. Now we have 700. And so we're able to work, it's more than a sponsorship program. I tell everyone this all the time. It's a tool that we use so that we see lives transformed. We're not interested in only giving the gospel. We're interested in the whole of the person, the whole of the family. And so when you're able to come in and provide access to medical care, when you're able to come in and you're able to provide clean water, when you're able to provide a hand to hold together and walk forward in areas of divorce, parenting, death, grief, that's when the gospel, in tandem with a social help, a daycare, right? You guys have a school here. When you're able to put that together, you see transformation inside of the families. And there's a picture of a girl with a grad hat on. And these kids, these families outside of the city live on about $2 a day. I mean, we can't even fathom that, the amount of poverty that is there. But we're able to walk alongside these kids, their families, and see them grow up, graduate, get a job, break the cycle of poverty. But more than that, They've been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's exciting to be a part of it. And so while I work with kids and families and youth, young adults, grandmas, grandpas, all of the stories, my husband works with university students, and that's a whole kit and caboodle in and of itself. Anyone have any young adults? Sometimes they're crazy. Anyway, we love being together to serve in Cambodia, and so excited for your church to be a part of that in sending of the team and just the way that they will invest. I have one quick story. I don't have a photo for it, but that's okay. It's a story of the impact of when people come. So we're there day in, day out, doing ministry. Our teams are doing ministry. And so we have a girl in one of our villages who's developed a heart problem. So she's going, she's getting, having access to the medical care. She has a hole in her heart, and she needs to have surgery on it. We have an STM team come. We're in the village, we're doing kids ministry. We gather around her and pray for healing. That was what we were talking about that day. God is a God who heals. Anyone experience that here? And so we just gathered around her, prayed. The team couldn't pray in Khmer. They didn't know the language, but we all gathered around and prayed. And so that next week she was going in to be prepped to have whatever they do to fix that. And they didn't need to. It was gone. And so we have story after story of restoration and healing and provision and acceptance and mercy and all these things, because that is the God we serve, do we not? He cares about every aspect of life, not just the poverty. He cares about the heart. And so we're excited to be a part of that. If you are a parent, your child will get one of these downstairs today. I encourage you to engage in missions with your kids. There's prayers in here. It's a coloring book. If you're a grandparent, you want to pick some up, come see us after. We also are the only missionaries that will give away money. So if you want to come and grab some real Cambodian money for your kids or for yourself after, come see us. And then finally, if you're interested in sponsoring a child through Child Care Plus, I encourage you, a great investment. Thanks.
She said we give away money, but it's only worth 2 cents, so it's not.
$100.
It's 100 Cambodian riel, but it's not worth a whole lot here. I am responsible for university ministry. That's what my wife has told you. I didn't come to Cambodia to do that. 13 years ago, I went there to teach at a Bible school. That was my skill set. That's what I went to Cambodia to do. I was teaching at a Bible school here in Alberta at Vanguard College before. And so that is what I knew. And 3 years into our time in Cambodia, I had to pass this university every day. And God spoke so clearly to me and said, it's time for you to start a work there. There's 20,000 students there. Nobody was doing any work among the students. And I said, no. Everyone thinks missionaries are such people of great faith, but I said no. It's not what I came to Cambodia to do. I came to Cambodia to teach at a Bible school, to equip pastors. I didn't come to do university ministry. And how many of you know it's not a good idea to say no to God? He just kept on it. And I gave in to him. And that sounds really horrible to give in. The wording is not right. I accepted his will is a better wordage. And I decided that we were going to open up this little cafe. That's how we couldn't access the campus. We weren't allowed on it. So we needed to have a third space. So we opened up this little cafe. And we had grand ideas that we were going to be this new trendy Starbucks of Cambodia. University students were going to love to be there. And quickly found out that they had no money to buy coffee. So we quickly transitioned into like a student drop-in center model where they could come and they could hang out. They didn't have to buy anything. And they had a place for them to study without the pressure of having to purchase something, some place that they could meet with their friends. And so we opened up this place, and you know what? Nobody came for a long time. And I sat in that room by myself for a long time. And I remember thinking, have I missed God's voice? Was this my direction and not his? Because I'm sitting in this room and it's empty and nobody's coming here, and month after month after month is going by and I'm seeing one or two students come through our door. Is this what it was supposed to be? Again, missionaries with great faith. A year goes by. We had had people coming through, and then I remember we decided that we were going to take some kids, some university students that we had begun to build relationship with, out on a camping trip. And we had a team from Canada come. We went on a camping trip, and after that trip, I remember the boat ride coming back. They sat in front of me, and they said, when we get back to the city, we'd really love to study more about the Bible. We'd really love to know more about Jesus. And I said, now is the moment. So we got back, we started doing that, and it was like the floodgates opened. And students after students were pouring through our doors, accepting Jesus. And we grew from that tiny little cafe into a second location. And then that second location, we decided to add dormitories because university students don't have a safe place to live. Universities don't have dorms. And so we opened up places for university students to live. And we had 15 spaces at that time. And then we outgrew the second space. By then we were having a church, and by then we were running small groups, and we had safe houses for them to live, and we couldn't contain ourselves in that space anymore. So then we moved to this converted factory. And in that place now, where we are today, we have 100 students who are living upstairs in the dormitory. We have a church that runs there. I have 37 student leaders who are running alpha programs, small group programs for women and for men. They are running Bible studies. They are church planting on the weekends to their own communities. And that is what God has done because I finally said yes to him. Today, we're moving into the next step that God has for our center. We have rented for 10 years. 3 years ago, God said, it's time for you to purchase land and build your own building. Now, who remembers what happened 3 years ago? It wasn't the best time to be starting a project. And God said, now is the time for you to do it. And people told us, no, you should not do this. It's too expensive, not the right time. You don't need it. You can keep working with what you have. Well, today that building is 80% completed. And it has 200 spaces for students to live. It is 6 stories high. And we have a video that we're going to show of this building. I always preface the video before it shows. I had dengue fever before I went and did this video, which is a really gross, nasty tropical disease from a mosquito. And I literally took the IV out of my arm to go to the building and take the video. So I'm quite out of breath. It's 6 stories high. I'm a big person, so you'll hear me grasping for air as I'm trying to describe the building, but let's see the video and you can see what God has done.
Hey everyone, I
standing in the doorway. There's no doors yet. But behind me, you can see the big open space. This is our drop-in part of the center. Here, it's where we do our feeding programs, where the students come to hang out and do homework and meet with friends. Down this hallway here, this is where all our classrooms are. They're not yet finished. We have classrooms and offices for Erdo and CCP back here as well. And then here at the back is the staircase that goes all the way up to the top. And there's no elevator. Up here, we have a top floor. It's a big space. This space up here is where the library goes and where the quiet study area goes for the students to come and use resources and computers and printing. Here, inside here, you can see this is the first floor for dormitories. And they have communal bathrooms and then each individual room. There, nice high ceilings. These rooms will be filled with bunk beds and wardrobes. And there's enough rooms in this building for 200 students to stay. And this is a giant open level. It's gonna be open to the outside. It will be used for students to hang out with one another, students who live here at the center. This will be filled with places for them to sit, study, cook, all those kind of activities all together. You can see we have a nice view of the city that is surrounding us. Then last level on the top, this will be our church space. So there will, of course, be a roof and walls and windows and all that kind of stuff up here. Have a giant meeting room for us to have church and conferences and everything else that we need a big, huge, multi-purpose space for.
Isn't God good? I think that's the theme for this morning. Isn't God good? We started this project in March, and I remember I went there to the land because I wanted to make a little video, an update video. And when I went there, I was expecting to just see just like a cement pad on the ground, like a just beginnings of the foundation. But when I arrived at the land, there was already a two-story building there. And I was standing in the middle of the building, and I began to be overcome with emotion. And I'm a big guy, and I'm standing in the middle of this building. There's about 100 Cambodian workers around me just looking at this white guy crying in the middle of the building. So I ran to my car, and I'm sitting in the car, and I begin to just be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. You know, it had been 3 years. 3 years of doubting. 3 years of people saying it's never going to happen. 3 years of doubting it ourselves. And then here I am looking at a building that is already two stories high. And in that moment, I was reminded again that God is always faithful. And my lesson that day in the car is that God does the impossible. And we might think it's impossible, but God does the impossible. Today we have somebody with us all the way from Cambodia. His name is Piset. He is one of the very first people to give his heart to the Lord at our center. And he's going to come and he's going to share his testimony with us today.
Hello, everybody. So excited. My name is Piset. Very excited to be here. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your support. I'm standing here today because of that support. I share my testimony, how I become, and I will talk how is God moving in Cambodia and in my life too. So I'm the oldest son from the Buddha's family. There are 11 people that live in one house with two bedrooms. So we have to share everything together, live together, share the space together, and make sure that we have enough money to live. So I remember when I was 9 or 10, I was sexually abused by my aunt and my uncle. And that is the most hard that I cannot do anything. It's hurting to go through with all those happening to my life. So I went to, when I went to high school, I started to be hanging out with the bad person who brought me to the place that we can drink, we can do alcohols, we can do drugs, we can gamble, everything. So make that I forget all happened in my life. And I work, I do everything to find enough money to go back and do all those stuff. But eventually, the hole is so deep, I cannot get it out in my head, in my mind. It's still there, no matter what, how I hard trying to. One day, the friend of mine brought me to the place that in open, just a small coffee shop, that we can hang out together. No need to spend a lot of money. So we can go there. And I went there many times. I start to use to know the staff that work there. And they are so kind. They are so friendly, even they not know me or my past. So they start to invite me to go camping trip. And I know, what is camping trip? I never know camping trip and what they're doing there. And they just, come, it's fun, will be fun. Okay, I will go there. And when I go there, I heard the guy from the team from Canada, he shared the testimony. It's the same as my problem. But he said God helping him get him free. And when I heard that, I told myself that I want that. I need that to get me free to what I've been through, to hurting me. So when I went back and I began to searching more who God is. And guess what? I found God. I found the real God. And he set me free forever. And I know that when I began to stand for him, listen what he asked me, told me, I will win that battle. And I know that I'm a choosing God, and we are the people that God choosing. So if I know that everything will be good, will be great. It's not my story anymore. It's God's story now. But you know what? Everything that I've been become because of Ian and Tiffany, they sacrificed everything here to come to Cambodia to show us who God, what is the truth, what is love from God. They sacrificed family here to come to Cambodia. And thank you for everything that be a part of changing life for the student in Cambodia. So began who stand again to change, to listen, to what God adding to those people like me in Cambodia. And we'll see what they become to. So I hope that everything that I share with you today will encourage you to trust God, to listen what God asking you to. Thank you so much.
I've heard his testimony so many times, but every time it just makes me so emotional. You know, the people that were supposed to keep him safe were the people who harmed him the most. And a lot of people can't get past that in their life. But today, as he stands here, it's a testament how God can renew and restore. And take a life that was broken and make it new. You know, Pisa is the pastor at our church that meets at the center now. And he's pastoring hundreds of university students because God gave him a new story. I want to ask here today, and I actually want to see your hands because I want everybody to look around and see. Raise your hand if God has done the impossible in your life. And just take a moment and look around at all the hands here today. Isn't God good? Isn't God faithful? You know, every time we come back to Canada, I sit and I spend time and I ask God, what do you want us to share with the churches in Canada? What is it that you want us to share? And he keeps bringing me back to the same thing over and over again, and that is obedience. And after all these years, I am convinced that it is one of the central themes of the Bible. You know, we learn all the stories when we're young and we're in Sunday school. We learn how, you know, Moses was there and needed to free the slaves, and God commanded him to go. And we talk about, you know, my brain is going crazy. We're talking about Jericho and the walls, you know, the walls falling down. God's asking us through Abraham to sacrifice his son, Daniel in the lion's den, all these famous stories throughout Scripture, Noah and the ark, you know. God's asking his people to do these crazy things, and then God comes through for them when they act out in obedience. But I really like one book of the Bible in Joshua. It's like full of all these amazing acts of God. And we usually skip to the big story of Jericho, or we skip to, you know, God holding the sun in the sky forever. In the very beginning of the book, there's this little story, and it's right before they're entering into the Promised Land, and they're at the banks of the Jordan River. And the flood waters have come, and the nation cannot cross to the other side. It's said that they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God. And when those that were carrying the Ark's feet touched the waters parted, and they walked on dry land. And it's like this small story, but it has this amazing message that we miss sometimes, that at the very presence of God, the waters parted. And I can tell you, we're evidence to it, that with the very presence of God, the impossible becomes possible. I've sat in a room when a doctor told me I was dying of cancer. And then God entered the room, and I am healed today. I have sat in a room in Cambodia with a girl who had died, and 3 days she lay in her house, but then God entered the room, and she sat up and walked again. Why? Because the very presence of God makes the impossible possible. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That is why we're in Cambodia. It's why Tiffy and I, 13 years ago, followed God's call and went to Cambodia. It's why we're still there. It's why through all the sufferings, the doubts, and the fears, we are still working, why we disciple, why we work with the poor, the needy, why we work with university students is because we are a chosen people of God. But I want to remind you this morning, and I do it in every church, God did not just call Tiffany and me, and he did not just call Pisette. This scripture is not for us, it is not for missionaries, it is for you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen nation. And God has called you out of darkness. And I don't know if you didn't raise your hand this morning, but I'm here to tell you that God did the impossible for you when he reached down into your sinful life and pulled you into light. And so if you love Jesus, your hands should be raised high and saying, God did the impossible for me when he rescued me from a life of sin and put me on the path of righteousness. So our question always is, what is God asking you to do? Here is the most amazing thing. The same God that did all those things, that did all the things in Cambodia, the same God who built a six-story building in the downtown center of Phnom Penh, Cambodia, he lives in you. And you carry his very presence like the Ark of the Covenant. And when you walk into a room, you carry his presence. And so we say to everyone, put your foot in a room. Put your foot in the room of the hurting. Put your foot in the room of a broken person, of a sick person, and just watch what God can do. Because when you follow his voice, God takes care of the rest. Amen? Come on, church. When you walk into the room, the very presence of God makes the impossible possible. And we're evidence of that this morning. We said it's just one story of hundreds of lives being changed in Cambodia. And people look at us, and he even said it in his testimony, it's because Ian and Tiffany came to Cambodia and sacrificed their life to come to Cambodia. And while that is true, it is not unique. Everybody is called to obedience and to walk in the way that God has for you. And I believe if you listen to his voice and his direction for your life, you will have many Pisettes in your life. And now Pisette is going to have many others under him. And a whole generation of Cambodians are going to be changed by the gospel because somebody said yes to God. Can we stand together? I always like to pray for the churches that we go and speak in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who is in this room today. God, I pray that they would understand the call that you have placed on their life, that they are a chosen people. They have been chosen by you, set apart by you. They bear your name. And they carry your presence with them in every situation they walk into in their life. And so, God, I pray that you would speak to them today. And they would hear your voice and they would answer yes to you. And then they would walk forward in obedience into every room that you have for them. And from this moment would birth testimony after testimony after testimony of the goodness of God in Kamloops and how the Spirit of God is walking the roads and the halls and in every room across this city. We pray that you would bless them and their families and their children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want to thank you guys for your love and support for us and for the work in Cambodia.
Why don't you stay up here? There's a couple things, powerful things that stick out to me in what you share. You know, what you're talking about is hundreds of people being touched. You're talking about really thousands in reality and how it can start with one person. Like Pisette, it's one life touched, and now your life is touching hundreds of people, and those hundreds of people are impacting thousands. The impact of one life, how God cares for just each and individual person. One of the things I just want to emphasize about one of the things that you share as well, Ian, is that as you guys have gone to Cambodia, this has not been about you guys bringing Canadian culture to Cambodia, trying to save Cambodian people with Canada. It's not about that at all, is it? It's a different type of kingdom. It's about walking in the kingdom of God. It's not about bringing Canadian culture, because Canadian culture isn't going to save Cambodia. It's about Jesus in us and living out his kingdom and bringing the kingdom of God, which spans every nation on earth. And that's just so important. I want to pray for you guys, but before I pray for you, I do want to encourage the church. You know, they're talking about this building that's being built, that's getting close to being finished. The reality is that even though it's being built as things are going on right now, half of it isn't paid for yet. And they're still in the process of trying to pay for that. I think it's about $600,000 that is going to be owed on the building. And I want us, we don't hand out offering plates anymore like we used to, but I want to encourage you, because we do have offering boxes in the back and there's different ways of giving, but I want to encourage you that we want to take up a virtual offering today for them to go towards the building of this building. Because it's not about building a building, but the building is a tool to reach these thousands of university students. With the life and the good news of Jesus. And so if you would like to sow into that, I would encourage you, however you give, to put Cambodia on there or put Cambodia building on there, and it's going to go directly to helping the building of this global student center in downtown Phnom Penh. Actually, he was telling me last night, it's pretty amazing because you said that it's right, like, kind of, it's amazing to be able to get a piece of land that's right downtown in Phnom Penh. And how cheap it is. $600,000 sounds like a lot. But they're able to purchase this building and build this really amazing global student center, you said, for about $1.3 million, which is amazing. Because in Canada, just for that land, it might cost $1.3 million. They haven't even built anything yet. It's just like the piece of land. And it's right down Phnom Penh. It's sowing into a ministry that's going to impact students for generations. So I'd encourage you, give to that, sow into that, and we're excited to see what God's going to do. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Ian and Tiffany and Pisette and their kids and just all the students in Phnom Penh and the center that's being built. And I thank you, Lord, that the things that you want to do are so much greater than our dreams that we can dream up. Lord, I think of Ian and Tiffany's story and how they first got there and this small little dream of a cafe. And God, you placed that in there, but you had so many bigger things in store. Lord, you looked at that and you said, that's too small. That's too small. There's something bigger. There's something greater that I want to do. And Lord, you don't need us to dream up great things. You just ask us, as Ian said, to be obedient in just a little thing, in putting that foot forward and stepping forward. So Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to be obedient, that we'd hear your voice, and Lord, that they would continue to hear your voice, that you'd provide for them, that you'd minister through them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that those hundreds of students would become thousands. Lord, and we see this nation that has been so ravaged by war and death and darkness, that we'd see light shine in this place, a spiritual light that comes from you, that we'd see a generation transformed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us today.